Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. I'm Rita Halklane, your host for the next hour. I am so glad to be back here. 2 weeks ago, we couldn't broadcast because the snowstorm just killed everything. And then last week, I had to be off because I had a special zoning meeting that I had to be present at. And so here I am, finally. And I've really missed you. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in. I hope you'll stay with me, and I pray that the Lord will richly bless our time together as we seek a deeper relationship with the Lord. There's a lot going on in the world today, and so it's really easy to get stuck in a rut of negativity and hopelessness. And if I don't tell everyone something, it's the world's going to come to an end. Well, I'm sorry, the world's not going to come to an end because you didn't post something on Facebook. Sorry, but it's true. The Lord is taking care of things. It may seem like he's not, but he is. But what I'd like to do today, well, first of all, I want to share with you something. I've been leading a women's Bible study at my parish for 25 years. I don't know where the time went or how this all happened, but it's a wonderful group of women that I trust so much and love so much. And there's new ones and ones who've had to move on, and some have gone to be with the Lord, and there's some that have been there since day one. And it's just a marvelous group. It's remarkable. And I love them very much. But because of that responsibility, along with some of the other things I've done throughout the years at the parish, I've had to pray a lot. Because one thing I learned from the saints, and one thing I've learned from the church, is if you have responsibilities, you really do need to pray a lot. Because prayer is just a union with the Lord. It's where you respect him and say, hey, I'm not God, you're God, and I really want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to love with your heart. And so I've prayed a lot over 25 years for all the different apostolates I've been involved in, but the one for Bible study has been extraordinary. I'm always praying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And he gives me words. He gives me words. A little word will pop into my heart. Or I'll be reading something and a word will stand out. There's a multitude of ways that he gives me these words. But as soon as I hear it or see it, there's a conviction in my heart, like a little spark of fire that says, this is it. And he gives these to me, not so much for myself. Sometimes he gives me words for myself, but most of the time, 99.5% of the time, he's giving me those words for the women in the Bible study or whatever else I'm involved in for him. And here, the radio apostolate, since I got involved in it. And so this week, he gave me a word, and I have been looking into it, and I have read other things, and I've heard his voice. Yes, he does speak. He gives you a little thing in your conscience sometimes, and you know that it's from him. As Kathleen has said, you learn to discern when it's him talking. So anyway, today I would like to focus on the word listening, hearing, listening. And for many reasons, which I will share with you as we go along, But I wanted to start with the fact that Jesus fulfilled many prophecies predicted about him over centuries before he ever was born. And he fulfilled all of them, every last one of them. Excuse me. And I'm hoping to speak a little bit about that to you next week, but I never know what the Lord's going to lead me to speak about, but I would like to do that next week if it's okay with him. So anyway, today I want to focus on one of the prophecies, one of the many. And it comes from Isaiah 35 in your Bible, and it reads like this. Say to the fearful of heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall see, and the ears of the deaf be opened. Say to the fearful of heart, be strong, do not be afraid. Here is your God. The eyes of the blind shall see, the ears of the deaf be open. This was a prophecy or a telling of what the Messiah was going to be able to do. Now, you know, when the Lord speaks and when you read his words, sometimes you can read that and you go, the eyes of the blind will see, the ears of the deaf will be open. And you think, oh, wow, he's going to cure blindness, physical blindness. He's going to cure deafness, you know, physical deafness. But he is always more than that. There's different types of blindness. There's different types of deafness. And it's not just physical in Scripture when he's speaking about those kind of things. It can also be spiritual. It can be emotional. It can be hard-hearted. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can refer to. And so he came not only to heal bodies, which he did and still does. You know, if you don't believe he's still doing miracles, then you're out of the loop, because he does. He doesn't cure everyone, and not every miracle is a physical miracle, but every miracle always has a spiritual component to it as well, even if it is physical. So he came not only to heal the body, but also, more importantly, to open our eyes and ears to the truth, beauty, wisdom, and everything else wonderful, clarity, order, that comes with having a relationship with him. I have told you before, and I'm going to tell you again because I know some of you might not have been listening then. Years ago, I was reading a book called The Ministry of Intercession by Andrew Murray, and it was about how important it is for us to pray for each other and to pray for situations in the world and the church and everything, that to be a person who intercedes with God through prayer for the needs of the world and the people that we love, including ourselves. And in the back of the book, it's a really good book. It helps you to learn. It's not Catholic, but don't worry about that. It's an excellent book. The Ministry of Intercession by Andrew Murray. In the back, it has 31 days, I think, of different things to add to your prayer list to be conscious of that need prayer. And one of those days was about the evil in the world and, you know, the consequences and the effects of evil in the world. And at that point in my life, I was rather worldly, and I had a relationship with Jesus. I prayed every night and every morning. I read my Bible, etc., but I wasn't going to church, and that was a big problem. I swallowed the lie that it's okay not to go to church, that you don't need it. As long as I have Jesus and I pray and I read my Bible and I try my best, I'm okay. But it really doesn't work that way. And I found that out the hard way. When we don't go to church and we're not in community with other believers, we become very cunningly, slowly, eventually worldly. In other words, we start to be affected by the world in a way that makes us kind of immune to seeing things. We become blind-er and hear more deaf over time. And I didn't realize it was happening to me, but the Lord woke me up one day. I won't go into that, but I did pray that day. Lord, the world seems kind of okay, because in that day and age, it was. There was very little conflict in the world. Our economy was booming. There were jobs everywhere. It was just magnificent. And I said to him, I said, Lord, you know, I just don't see that much around. But the book says, intercede for that. And I said, show me, Lord. Show me the evil that I'm not seeing. If there is evil there, I want to see it. I want to be aware of it so I can pray more. I can try to live in a way that diminishes that, And he answered that prayer. He answered that prayer. He opened my eyes that the blind could see. I could see things that I never realized before. I never saw before, and I realized some things were not as innocent as I thought they were. That there was some evil forces going on, affecting certain things, and I just thought they were a part of life. But then he opened my eyes, and I saw that that was not true. So if you aren't seeing things as evil, that's not a bad thing. But you need the Lord to reveal to you what is evil, what the evil one is doing, and how he's doing it. And so I ask you to pray for that insight. Pray for that knowledge. Pray for your eyes to be open to see it. Because once he did that for me, I never wanted to lose that. I don't want to become worldly in that regard. I don't want to lose my ability to see what he wants us to see. And then, of course, he gives you ways to deal with it that are constructive and good. I mean, it's not a bad thing. So today I really want to focus on hearing and listening. And part of the reason I will share with you now is because, with all the technology available these days, we have plenty to watch and listen to. In fact, some of us spend too much time watching and listening to the media, to social networks and all that sort of things, to where it's almost compulsive and addictive. And for some, it is. But the reason I wanted to focus on that is, what do you listen to the most? What do you listen to the most? And how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel good? Do you feel worried? Do you feel angry? Do you feel hopeful? What do you feel after you listen to these things that occupy your ears? Or maybe what you see, either way. And how do you act as a result of the things you've listened to? And why that came to be, this topic today, was I have some friends who are constantly, and I mean constantly, listening to the news and on social media. And what they do is they share every negative revelation about the people they dislike. groups of people, a politician, a priest, or the church, or schools, or movies, or whatever. Every negative revelation about that particular person or situation that they don't like, they post it, and they post it, and they post it, and they post it. And if what bothers me is if you are on social media regularly, and I am, I have to be for this and also for other things I'm involved in, you can see that there are a lot of posts and comments and videos that are fake, generated by AI. So we cannot be 100% sure of just about anything that we are reading, listening to, and seeing on social media. Even on the news, there's a lot of fake stuff. So to be obsessed with sharing that as if it's gospel truth, like it's absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind that it's real because it states what I know to be the facts about this person or the situation. It's almost impossible to discern that as a fact. It's almost impossible. Yet, these friends that I'm speaking of wholeheartedly believe everything they hear that supports their belief about that person or the persons they dislike. I have faith in them that they have good intentions. I believe that they repost this news or comments or videos or whatever that they've heard in an effort to alert everyone of how awful that person is or the situation is or the actions that were taken are and all that sort of thing. They're trying to be helpful and trying to spread the truth as they see it around to their friends and other people. And I don't think that it's a horrible thing to try to do that. However, they're not interested in listening to other sources that may say anything factually good about the persons they dislike or about the situations. They are determined that it is 100%, or the person is 100% evil or awful or wicked or out of tune with what they should be in tune with, etc., etc. So, to me, they're caught in a web of something that is not good. They very rarely post anything that is positive or of anything that's really wonderful going on in their lives. It's all this darkness. All this darkness. And with something good thrown in once in a while. And that disturbs me tremendously. Because I worry about friends who are so caught up in all that negativity that they can't see anything good. Or they just focus on it so much that it kills their ability to even consider the thought. Even when, first of all, they won't listen. Won't listen to anything other than what they have been taught through their listening in other ways that what they think is true. They cannot abide listening to anything that says that might not be the case, or there's more than one side to a story. There's always more than one side to a story. So anyway, I was praying for them, one in particular. I'm really, really worried about her. But I was praying for them and pondering this way of culture that so many of us have taken up. So many of us have taken it up. I mean, they're not the only ones. And I heard a little voice in my heart. A little voice in my heart when I was praying for them. And people of the world who have fallen into this type of culture. And I heard the little voice that said, they have listened too much to the world and not enough to me. I'm going to repeat that again, because he gave it to me to give to you. Whether you're guilty of it or not, it's what he wanted me to speak of today. They have listened too much to the world and not enough to me. And I have a question for you, my friends. Is that you? Whether you're a believer or not, is that you? Are you listening too much to the world? Are you listening too much about the bad and the ugly versus the good and the beautiful? Did you know that there are actually apps that you can get for your phone about good news? It's true. It's true. There are apps that you can get that will give you good news. And there's two of them on my phone right now. Good News and the Good News Network. And they will send you, if you want them to, they will send you notifications of their good news stories that day. That's not a bad thing to focus on. You know, you might not agree with some of the things they call good news, but it's full of good news, and there's a lot of it. But are you a person that listens too much to the bad? That used to be me. I used to be like that. So I know what I'm talking about, but no longer. Once I woke up to that and what it was doing to me and how it was focusing me on the things that were bad and not on constructive listening or constructive action or good things that were in the midst, hidden in all of that. It reminds me of Mr. Rogers. God bless the man. When I was young, I couldn't watch him. He just drove me crazy. But now that I'm older, I realize how wonderful he really truly was. And how good it would be to listen to him. And he did say at one point when he was a boy, he and his mother were watching the news. And there was something really horrible going on in the world. I don't remember what it was, or it might have even been in his neighborhood. And it distressed him to see that on the news. And I hope I can get this right. And his mother said to him, when you see bad news, when you see bad things happening, always look for the good, because there's always someone good in it. Or something good happening in it. And she pointed out in that scene of the news that there, I don't remember, he didn't say what it was, but she did point out to him, and he noticed, yes, there is good in that bad. There is good, and it's usually people who are stepping up to the plate and helping, or saving, or feeding, or rescuing, or working together to solve a problem. There's always, always, always good in the midst of that darkness. And if you focus on the darkness so much that you can't see the good, you need to wake yourself up and say, I'm going to look for the good. I'm going to listen to the other opinions. I'm going to think the best of someone until I can't anymore, because there's always that seed of God in every person. And it's true, there is. No matter how vile a person is, there's still the seed of God in them that is waiting to sprout. And it might just be your kindness or your prayers that will bring that seed to germination and bring that seed to grow. So, if I want to give you something. Something to focus on. If you listen too much to the world and not enough to the Lord, I want to share these things with you. Jesus and the Bible scriptures warn us about being careful who and what we listen to. There's a reason for all of that. In John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep," which are his children, his believers, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's what we as sheep do. We hear his voice. He knows us, we hear his voice, and we follow him. And then later on, earlier in John 10, it says the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Because they recognize his voice. Well, you can't recognize that voice. You can't hear him unless you're listening. We have to listen. And scripture says, God speaks with a still, small voice. Sometimes he knocks us over the head, but most of the time, it's just a quietness. I was sharing with the Bible study last week about how important it is to ponder what you're reading in the Bible. Because sometimes when I'm preparing for Bible study, I will be reading I pray, I'm reading the scriptures, and, you know, I'm not pondering them as much as I should. I'm just trying to get a feel for what's going on so that I can go to the class and really kind of, you know what I'm talking about to a degree. But when I go back and I ponder it and really stop and listen to it and ponder it, it comes alive in quietness, alive. You hear the voice of the Lord pointing you to something, or you'll have an understanding you didn't have before. It's that quietness and pondering is how we listen to him in our prayer lives, in our scripture reading, etc., etc. It's that quietness, the quietness. And you can have that in the car if you turn your radio off. If you're in a hurry and you're too busy, you can have it in a lot of places. If you quiet it, turn the radio off, turn the TV off. Trust me, it becomes so beautiful and alive. It really is alive, as scripture says about itself. The word of God is alive. And so if you quiet yourself, you will hear his voice. And you will be able to follow him. And he will hear yours. I have to take a break, but please don't go away. Please come back for the next half hour. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello. Hello again, I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next half hour. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Network. And I just want to ask you to keep us in your prayers. We've been having a lot of technical problems over the last month. We haven't been able to take phone calls from our audience, and we're waiting on a new piece of equipment that just seems to be taking forever to get here. The camera that we broadcast on Facebook is not working, so that's why I'm not on Facebook today. And so just a lot of things going on around here, and we know who's causing it. And so please pray for us, and we appreciate that. And I just wanted to give you a little commercial here. On the weekend after Easter, which is April 10th through 12th at Malvern Retreat House, Kathleen and Father DeLacy and Bishop Ismilla are going to be doing a retreat, a Divine Mercy retreat. And for Divine Mercy Sunday, that whole weekend is going to be a big celebration about Divine Mercy. And you'll it says, experience the peaceful grounds of Malvern Retreat House, which is no lie, it's a beautiful, wonderful place to go, while receiving the promises of grace revealed in the diary of St. Faustina. And it's for men and women, and there's going to be music and conferences and everything. It starts on Friday evening, I think it is, 4 p.m. on Friday of that weekend, and ends after the 3 p.m. Divine Mercy devotions on Sunday. So it's just, you cannot go hardly anywhere else in the world and have so wonderful a location for a retreat. It's magnificent, and of course, these people who are leading the retreat are world-renowned and worth every actual effort to go and be there. This is the 20th annual retreat for this. 20 years. So give Malvern, go on online to malvernretreat.com. Click on retreats, the calendar, and find it and register there. Okay. It's $290 to be there in person, or $100 if you're under 22, or $75 to watch it virtually, to attend virtually. There's nothing like being there, though. Don't do the virtual thing just because it's cheaper if you can afford the other one, because it always sells out, and it's magnificent. There's nothing like being there in person. Nothing. So try to do that if you can. All right. Now let's get back to, I was sharing in the previous half hour about how the Lord, not because I'm, you know, some super holy person, but because I do teach and I do lead, he gives me words to share with the people that I love, and the people that I'm charged with to share things with. And you are some of those people. And the word that he gave me recently was listening, and it came from the fact that I have friends who listen too much. And I've done it in the past myself, but they listen too much to all this negativity and all this hopelessness and all of this anger and frustration with what's going on in the world and with in politics and with people and groups and you name it. They're just into all of that, and they post stuff repeatedly online that's very negative. And the Lord said they have listened too much to the world and not enough to me. Unfortunately, some of you don't know that it's you can listen to the Lord. You can be, you can hear his voice in many ways. But I shared a couple of scriptures then. I would like to share this with you. And this is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear. He also told them, take care what you hear. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear. In other words, listen. Don't waste your ears on junk. So anyway, and in Proverbs 4, there's many, many scriptures, about how important it is to be careful what you see, be careful what you hear. In Proverbs 4, the Lord says, "My son, to my words be attentive, to my sayings incline your ear. Let them not slip from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, bringing health to one's whole being. With all vigilance, guard your heart, for in it are the sources of life." But he starts it with, "To my words be attentive, to my sayings incline your ear," because they, what you hear, what you listen to, speaks not only to your mind, but to your heart, to your whole being, and can and affects you. And so if those words are life to those who find them, bringing health to one's whole being. Did you know you can make yourself sick by the things that you think? There's a scripture that says, as a person thinks, so they are. As a person thinks, so they are. If you are concentrating constantly on what's wrong in your life, what's wrong in the world, without realizing and seeing, as Mr. Rogers' mother said, the good that's hidden in there, or you're too busy thinking negative thoughts or reading negative things to go and look for the good, that can make you physically ill. It's science. It can make you physically ill. With all vigilance, guard your heart, for in it are the sources of life. We see repeatedly in the Bible how the people of the world have refused to listen to God. Sometimes the Jewish people themselves, but especially the non-Jewish nations. For instance, we have, I mean, so many, but for instance, the most dramatic is the story of Noah. God warned the people repeatedly, the people of the world repeatedly, about their sinfulness, but they refused to listen. They did listen to the evil one, though, and brought so much evil into the world themselves by their actions and their attitudes and their lack of listening to God. They did it so much that the Lord had to stop them before they destroyed everything and everyone, including the last faithful family, Noah. So he brought after repeatedly, patiently calling to them for repentance, to return to the God that created them, who has designed a way of life that brings life and justice and beauty and peace. They refused to listen. They would not hear. Their ears were deaf to the Lord, and he knew that they were so hard-hearted from their deafness that there was no hope for them. No longer. They would never turn from that wickedness. But he had to save Noah and his family. And so, thus came the flood. And then he renewed the earth with the one faithful family. And so, this is serious business, not listening to the Lord, y'all. It's serious. And we're living in a culture that refuses in many ways, not all, to not listen to the Lord, to dismiss him as fictitious, to dismiss him and his ways as, they might be good, but I'm not going to pay any attention to them because, you know, who cares? You know, I'm just going to live my life. I'm just going to do what I want. Well, I'm sorry, y'all. This is serious business. Whether you like it or not, it's serious. And we should work very hard to listen to him, in spite of the loud other noise in the world, especially what we're seeing on media and news. We have to watch We have to listen to a degree because we need to know what's going on. We need to be informed. But to be obsessive with it and to spend hours looking for bad news and all that sort of watching and filling our lives with it instead of praying, instead of finding out what's going on and then trying to be a force of healing, you know. So I wanted to share with you, you know, it's important that we listen to the Lord. And I have a little article here. I don't know who wrote it because the author wasn't listed, but it's from the BibleOutline.com website, and it's the importance of listening. Listening is a vital part of our relationship with God. Vital. It's imperative. We're encouraged to truly hear His voice amidst the noise of life, to make an effort to listen, create a deeper connection with Him, allowing us to experience His peace and guidance. It's through listening to God that we understand our purpose and calling in life. We can encourage each other to develop habits that foster active listening through prayer, scripture reading, and being quiet and silent with the Lord. Let us be open. See, that's the thing. There's a lot of hard-heartedness and, not hard-heartedness, which is obviously part of it, but it'll come to me. There's another thing that Pope Francis pointed out that we're dealing with in today's world. Hard-heartedness is one of them. And when you're hard-hearted, you are just not open. You're not open. You close yourself off. And so let us be open to what God wants to share with us, knowing that His voice leads to wisdom and understanding. We start to understand why things are happening in the world. We start to understand how to deal with those things constructively in our families, in our homes, and even in our own hearts. In Proverbs 8, the Lord says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting beside my gates." And that refers to, you know, our prayer life. But it also refers to church. And at the time, he's talking of temple, synagogues and temples. He means that about church today, as well as synagogues and temples for the Jewish people. But blessed is the one who listens to me. Who listens to me. In Isaiah, he says, "All your ears shall hear a word." I love this. "Your ears will hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." In other words, He will whisper in your ear from behind you, "Hey, go this way. It's the safer way, or it's the better way." He will do that. He says it Himself. Another, Psalms 81 says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that they would walk in my ways." This is God pleading with you, pleading with me, pleading with the world. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that they would walk in my ways." Jesus, but right before he was going to be crucified, he was looking out over Jerusalem and he was crying. He was saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, if only you would have listened. You don't even realize who's here for you." It breaks his heart that we don't listen. And how you listen to him, you can listen to him through those words in scripture. His scriptures in the Bible are filled with encouragement and peace and light and beauty for us. It's his revelation to us. It's his love letter to us, so we can see how humanity, you know, the flaws of humanity that are in every man, the flaws of the beauty of humanity that's in every man, mankind, humankind. And we can learn from that. we see his guidance in them, his promises, his love. So when we meditate on Scripture, we are opening our hearts to his voice in his word. And we should encourage one another to seek God through his word, allowing it to open, shine, illuminate our paths, and direct our decisions. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp in my darkness. That's in Scripture. All Scripture, in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The book of Hebrews says, the letter to the Hebrews, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit. And Jesus said in Matthew 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And if you are a believer and you have immersed yourself in sacred scripture, either at Mass, at church on Sundays, or daily, or when you have some quiet time, or you might read the daily Mass readings for the day, every day. If you immerse yourself in that word, you know it's alive. It speaks to your heart. It leads you. It guides you. It comforts you. It encourages you. It is alive, as Scripture says, and man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we listen in prayer because he has told us to pray. Go into your closet and be quiet, away from the madness, and pray and pour your heart out. He says that in Scripture. St. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so listen to his word. He says to pray. Pray. Please pray. Oh, here this is what he says in Matthew 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will hear and reward you. And in Jeremiah, the Lord says, call to me, I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Come to me first. Come to me first. I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. See, when we go to him, he reveals things to us that the world cannot see, the world does not hear, the world cannot possibly understand. So, and of course, last time we were together, I talked to you about how he reveals himself and speaks to us in nature. The beauty of nature and his creation speaks volumes about who he is and what he can do. And in Psalms, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And St. Paul says in Romans, for his invisible attributes, what we cannot see about him, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in his creation. All right? So he speaks to us that way. All right? And there's various ways that, you know, Kathleen has said, you start listening, you ask him to speak to you, and you will hear him. And you will be able to eventually discern his voice from the other cacophony of noises that we hear. And so I read this on the internet, and I modified it slightly. It was on Facebook. Christopher Wimberly put it on, but I have modified it. But it says, what we hear can determine how we feel. We have to guard our ear gate, what we let in. This means we have to be careful of what we choose to hear. We should be careful of who we allow ourselves to listen to. The evil one, our enemy, keeps people in bondage by flooding their ears with ungodly things. Be careful of the conversations you have. You know, what are you listening to? on the internet? What are you talking about when you're with friends? Be careful of those conversations and of listening to ungodly things in some entertainment sources. And you will well know that there are some, I'm not saying everything has to be puritanical, but there's a lot of evil being broadcast out in the world. And ugly. We've got enough ugly. Let's find some good. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend Solo Mio, the new movie that came out this past weekend. It's funny and serious and appeals to men and women. And it's just really beautifully written. And I guarantee you will enjoy it. It's really a lovely, lovely movie. I recommend it. Okay. And to go on with this from the internet, words we hear from others are either nurturing or can be detrimental to our soul. Words are like the diets of a person's minds and emotions. We need a diet of healthy, life-giving words. Negativity can impact our entire day. God has assigned you as the gatekeeper of your ears. You cannot control all of the words you hear. But you can determine the conversations you choose to participate in, what you choose to say, and the things that you choose to listen to and see. The things, there's always things that we see or hear that we can't control, but there is a great deal that we can. And he goes on to say, choose friends, entertainment, and conversations that build you up. Be the gatekeeper of your ear gate. Ear gate. Watch what you let in. And even more important is, make sure you let in the Lord. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Please listen to Him. I'm going to save something I was going to share with you for next week that Pope Francis wrote, because it's really beautiful. But right now I want to share with you something that was on the internet that I shared with my Bible study ladies. And I got such tremendous feedback, positive feedback. Some were moved to tears. And I just want to share it with you because, the Lord has told us we are to be light in the world. We are to be salt in the world. We are to, with our words and actions, reveal the beauty of the Lord, and that shine a light on the evil that's out there and try to bring good into it. Do not fight evil with evil, but fight evil with good. And there's a number of other things he said, but I want to share this with you before I have to go. So and I'm going to read it in a way that I hope will touch your heart. Imagine if every time we opened our mouths, we spoke words that were laced with healing, life-giving, encouragement, comfort, wisdom, love, and truth. If every time we opened our mouths, we spoke these kind of words. That's possible to do if we ask God to help us. It's dangerous to speak whatever comes into your mind unless what comes into your mind is good. If you have your mind fixed on good things, then the words of your mouth will reflect that. And here's a prayer. Lord, help me to be a person who speaks words that build up and not tear down. Help me to speak life into the situations and people around me and not death. Fill my heart afresh each day with your Holy Spirit so that your love and goodness overflow from my heart and my mouth. Help me to speak only about things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a quote from Psalms 19. And the prayer goes on, keep my mouth from speaking any evil or anything that is not true. Holy Spirit of truth, guide me in all truth. Help me to speak as the oracles of God and with the ability you supply so that you may be glorified. May every word I speak reflect your purity and love. May every word I speak reflect your purity and love. That is from Stormy O. Martin's book, The Power of a Praying Woman. It's one of my favorite books, The Power of a Praying Woman. Folks, there is so much negativity, so many words spoken, heard and spoken, that are destructive and chaotic and cause division. And people will say that they don't hate, but they have hatred. They'll say that, hate does not live here. Yet, the things they say are hateful. Not all of them. I know that there's a lot of good people in the world. A lot of good being said. A lot of good listening going on. And I just want to encourage you to be that person. To be that person who's a good listener to God and to the people around you. The person who speaks words and thinks things that heal and encourage and comfort and give wisdom, love, and truth. Don't be one of those who is caught up in all the negativity, because you give glory to it when you speak of it. Instead of healing, you give glory to it. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for your support and prayers of this network. It's a small voluntary network. We don't work for money. We work for the Lord and we volunteer. But it takes money to have airtime. It takes money to raise money. But prayers are equally as important, and we really need your prayers. It's a rough age we're living in, and it's very hard to always know what to speak about. But I hope that today the word the Lord gave me for you about listening has touched your heart. I pray you'll be able to listen more, that you will ask him to help you listen more. God bless you. Please pray for us. We are praying for you. And I hope to see you next week on Facebook and be on the radio. Thank you. Bye-bye.